KXSS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Some minor gaffes seem to overshadow the substance of President Biden's hour-long unscripted news conference to close out the NATO summit.
Voters are closely focused on the president's age, health, and acuity. In the face of increasing questions about whether he should continue his bid for re-election, but the president flubbing his first answer.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president, but I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
Minutes before the news conference, another gaffe. Biden mistakenly calling Ukrainian President Zelensky Putin.
ABC's M. Nguyen in Washington. A tourist helicopter crashed into the ocean off the Hawaiian island of Kauai. One person was killed, two are unaccounted for. In Nepal, three passengers were rescued after two buses with 66 people aboard were swept into a rain-bloated river by a landslide 75 miles west of Kathmandu. The three survivors swam to safety. This is ABC News. Officials in Texas estimate it'll be next week before all of the half million or so homes and businesses that still don't have power after Hurricane Beryl get it back. Houstonian Tony Cisneros says daily updates from the utility aren't cutting it.
We look around the neighborhood. There's no utility trucks in the neighborhood. So not getting any warm fuzzies from reading these texts saying, oh, yeah, we're on it.
California says a salmonella outbreak linked to raw cow's milk is far greater than previously known.
As of earlier this year, 165 people were sickened with salmonella tied to products from raw farms in Fresno, according to state records. It comes as health authorities are advising the public to avoid unpasteurized milk due to bird flu circulating in U.S. dairy cows. Health officials had not updated the public about the full scope of the outbreak since October, when there were about a dozen cases in San Diego. Alex Stone, ABC News.
I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS, and on the Civic Media app. It's summertime in Wisconsin, and whatever the weather, it will impact you and your plans.
Should I water the garden? Will our event be rained out? Count on your local Civic Media radio station for in-depth details and the most up-to-date forecast.
Temperatures are rising into the mid and upper 70s under sunny skies.
It's your weather and more for your part of Wisconsin.
On your local Civic Media radio station and streaming on the Civic Media app.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Brady joining us live via phone.
I tell the guys before every game, and honestly try to do it before every practice, challenge is going to come. This team is not just going to show up and allow us to walk all over them and win. Really what matters is how are we going to respond to that. And if you can adapt and use it as a learning opportunity, it's going to set you up to go accomplish darn near anything you want to.
I think there are a lot of people that need to hear that message today.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Rude and Dom.
Tune into the Devil's Advocates radio show. We will replay Joe Biden in Madison last Friday and the Earl Ingram interview. Devil's Advocates.
The Devil's Advocates. Weekdays 4 till 6. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
Partly cloudy today, our high 86 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid. We'll get to 88 with a heat index in the low 90s. Could see a few isolated thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
Earl Ingram.
Join me Friday. My good friend Sandy Williams will be here to close out the week. We'll continue our deep dive on Project 2025 and a whole lot more.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings at 9.
Zone.
Friday, where have you been? Good morning, everybody. It's the fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yankee. Welcome to the Midwest Farm Report. So glad you're making time for us on your beginning to the weekend, and it's going to be a hot, sticky weekend. In fact, a downright dangerous weekend on the way across the state of Wisconsin. La Crosse, don't be surprised if you hit 97 degrees by the time we get to Saturday. Obviously, everybody's heat index is going to be in the dangerous category. That means for all those kids, those families, everybody that's going to be attending our county fairs, please take care of yourself, take care of your animals. Take care of your friends and neighbors. We'll see a little bit of a break front part of next week when everybody starts to gather for the Republican National Convention. Now, if you've never been to Wisconsin, I guess next week's not a bad time to be along the lakeshore. Temperatures look very, very comfortable. Stumacher, ag meteorologist, has weather details on the way. All right, so here's your menu this morning. I'm not big on politics, but we can't ignore it here in the state of Wisconsin. Wisconsin farmers getting involved with the Republican National Convention next week. We're going to tell you how. The polls are in, and the rural vote is going to matter more than ever in Wisconsin. What do the polls show about the rural mind frame? I've got that for you. We're also talking about beef's relationship with the upcoming Little League World Series. And we're talking about what's going on in Door County and cherries. That's up next on a Friday.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Dan Sheps?
Harv Extra has been very consistent on our test results from first crop through fourth crop. The higher quality has allowed us to feed more alfalfa haylage in our diet, and cows are able to have a higher intake with a higher quality forage.
What does life on the cutting edge mean to alfalfa grower Riley Lepenka?
Making hay has changed so much now with Harv Extra alfalfa. You don't have to be tied down to a certain cutting window. That saves us a lot of headache, a lot of cost, wear and tear on machinery, you name it. I don't see any farm that it wouldn't work. Any kind of operation, if you have 10 cows, 10,000, it doesn't matter.
What does life on the cutting edge mean for alfalfa growers? Flexibility, yield, or quality? Harv Extra alfalfa with Roundup Ready technology gives you an extra edge every time you harvest. Hear grower stories at harvextra.com.
The month of July kicks off cherry season in Wisconsin, and it's that time of year when people from all over flock to Door County's cherry orchards and farm markets. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Jim Sequist takes some time with us from Sequist Orchards in Sister Bay. He tells us why the Door County Peninsula is an ideal place to grow the famous tart cherries. First, he tells us how the season went for his fruit.
We probably have the capacity to produce almost 15 million pounds of red tart cherries today, and we are probably pushing on that for this season. It's a big crop of fruit this year.
Why is it a bumper crop? Is it all the rain we've been getting? What have the conditions looked like up in your neck of the woods?
Yeah, and it's quite surprising to us because we had a spring frost in April that was pretty significant. It was cold as 19 degrees in areas, and it didn't seem to really affect that much. That pollination must have just been perfect, and everything seemed to, anything that was viable seemed to predominantly set fruit, and it's just a quite consistent good crop all over. So it the rain we're getting now is going to make it the fruit size and mature. We've definitely are on the excess side, where a year ago we were extremely short for rain in May and June, and it's been the opposite this year. So it's a whole different set of challenges to deal with.
What are some of those hurdles that you've had to deal with all the moisture?
The rain is, we have to have it for survival, but it also causes, When we have trees and leaves that are wet for extended periods of time, it causes diseases, especially a cherry leaf spot disease that will infect the leaves and potentially cause defoliation. And that's something that we are keenly watching and monitoring and controlling when need be. And that whole situation also causes insect potential issues when we have more moisture. So then, you know, it's just more management on that side of it, which you don't have as much in a dry year. University of Wisconsin and Michigan State University are both quite involved in helping us use computer models, and we have a scouting program through our local university research station that helps us try and make sure we're knowing what's going on in the orchard and then react appropriately.
If you could pick your perfect forecast for the harvest from here on out, what would that look like?
We'd love to see under 10 mile an hour winds every day, nice and cool and dry air, and I think we've had enough rain to get us all the way through harvest. It could not rain anymore and we would be just fine. And then we get a nice shower about August 15th, but it looks like it's going to warm up and be warmer. It does look like the rain might start to dissipate, but we're supposed to get 3/4 of an inch on Friday, and we'll just try and deal with that the best we can.
But the verdict is that right now the crop is looking good.
It is. We're just hoping that we can get it to maturity and get it off the trees. So we have a lot of people coming, heading this way, arriving this next weekend and preparing to go to work in about 10 days. Yeah, we will probably mechanically start harvesting around the 11th of July, and it'll run to about the 11th of August. So it's a full month of harvest for us mechanically, and then we'll handpick for retail markets another week or two beyond that. So sweet cherries and early tarts are being picked right now.
How many varieties do you have out there? You mentioned, you know, the red tart, some sweet varieties, but how many are you growing?
We grow predominantly the Montmorency tart cherry, which is used for pies and dried cherries and cherry juice, all those kind of products. But we do raise a handful of other tart cherries, predominantly Hungarian varieties, maybe four of those, but then probably about 20 varieties of sweet cherries that are just pretty much used for our own retail here in Ellison Bay.
Are those the most common varieties for Wisconsin growers?
The Montmorency cherry is the popular tart cherry, and then there is a fair amount of sweet cherries, not a lot, but they are available pretty much just for farm market use. But predominantly the commercial side of it is the tart cherry.
For a month there, predominantly you are sending cherries for juice and pie filling, as you mentioned. Walk me through the many uses of your cherries and where they go to be processed.
We work with local dehydrators like Country Ovens in Forestville in Door County, and then also Cherryland's Best in the Fox River Valley have been longtime customers of ours for our product that goes into dehydrated or dried fruit. And then they are also producers of juice products. So they are some of our longstanding customers. And then we do supply some of the very large nationwide dehydrators as well in Michigan and even out west. And then we supply a lot of higher end quality that goes to pie filling companies and pie bakers, bakeries, things like that. So it's a pretty diverse group of customers.
We never did say why Door County is an ideal place to grow cherries and other fruit for that matter. What is it about the landscape, about the soil, that makes growing cherries good?
I think number one, the Door County obviously sticks out into Lake Michigan, and it's tempered, the weather is tempered by the water, which means that in the springtime, the water will keep us cool and keep our trees delayed in breaking out in spring, so that it keeps the chance of spring frost more to a minimum by that happening. So that is one reason. And then most of the soils in Door County are pretty shallow and kind of droughty. sandy, droughty kind of soil that cherry trees do not like to be wet, like in a deep clay kind of corn ground that they do not like to be in that environment at all. So it's turned out to be at least a fairly good place to be to grow this crop.
When do you think is the best time to come to Door County for the cherry experience?
Yeah, a lot of the pick your own, which is, you know, when you talk about the ag tourism side of it, the pick your own where you can actually go to the orchard and go out and pick the fruit. We have that available here at Sequoia Farm Market in Sister Bay and also at Choice Orchards in Sturgeon Bay, where you can even get your cherries pitted there at Choice Orchards when you come in and with what you picked as a family. And it's just a kind of a nice thing to do as a family, go pick your fruit and then you can get it pitted where you can take it home and freeze it for making pies or whatever. And that's going to be just starting now with our sweet cherries, but the main tart cherry harvest will be starting in about a week and will go through the month of July, even a few days into August. But probably from any time after the 15th to the end of the month is probably the prime time.
Jim Sequist along with us from Sequist Orchards in Sister Bay. They grow about 170,000 cherry trees across 1,300 acres in Door County. They can produce up to 15 million pounds of cherries, which they expect to harvest this year. But like many growers, they're just hoping for some dry days. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Your home for Mino and the Mayor in the morning, weekdays from 6 till 8. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Again, we're talking about Julian Assange, villain or hero. Karen from Madison, you're on the air. What do you think?
I studied that Edward Snowden. You know, maybe I don't know as much about Julian, but I'm trying to learn more. And I just want to thank everybody for helping me learn.
Thank you for being open to learning more about issues and delving into them here on the Civic Media Radio Network. That is what it's all about.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
John is in studio with me right now.
I got banned at Great America for playing whack-a-mole.
What?
So I won 14 times in a row. I still got a picture of my son in the back seat, 3 or 4 years old, with just his head sticking out and all these teddy bears.
Here I was going to make this risque joke, and then you throw your son into there. Now I have to keep it clean.
Go ahead. Thanks. That's really
nice. You are one master whacker. I'll tell you that.
Thanks. Wow. That's unbelievable. You Hollywood types.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us. It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
On our next show, Mark Houston will join us from Bellin Sports Medicine for his weekly segment.
Then we feature the music of the Chocolatiers in our live music segment, brought to you by Heights Pub and Parlor.
Join us.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
Fair, Sauk County Fair, that's where I'll see you tomorrow. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, along with us on our Compeer Friday. I see that the Wisconsin State Fair has come up with their list of the 2024 foods on a stick. That's right up our alley. Let me give you a couple of the highlights that I see. Alligator claw on a stick. Brandy old fashioned s'more on a stick.
Okay.
Cajun battered shark on a stick.
Mm-hmm.
Cordon bleu on a stick. That's a little high end for us.
Yeah, you're right.
Chocolate dipped frozen banana. That's always good. That sounds really good right now. So they've got like 24, what did they say? They've got over 100 new vendors that are going to be a part of this year's just the food aspect of the Wisconsin State Fair. And plenty of it you're going to get a chance to walk around with on a stick. A stick that will be hot and clammy this weekend, Stu. I know a lot of our county fairs have the same kind of food fair. But yeah, this is, you're going to have to take her easy this weekend.
Yeah, it's going to get warm. It will be more humid. And yes, there will be chances of rain. I mean, we can count on that. Even yesterday, my friend John, who got about 0.6 of an inch the other day while he was cutting hay, trying to chop yesterday, about 3 in the afternoon, 0.1 of an inch, out of the blue, almost nobody else had any around. It's that kind of summer. We do have low pressure way off to the south, of course, a waving front from Kansas to Missouri, Illinois, Indiana. No precipitation nearby this morning. North central Nebraska, south central South Dakota with a little rain, like northwest Iowa or northwest Ohio as well. Otherwise, pretty quiet. We're just going to have a little patchy fog in some areas and a pretty warm, sunny, bright day today. That's great. We start seeing that heat turning up. And in the weekend, a possibility, a slight chance for a pop-up afternoon, late afternoon shower or thunderstorm later Saturday, later Sunday into Sunday night. The heat building up with a lot of us talking about just about 90 or above 90 come Sunday. The heat index pushing into the upper 90s or better. I'll have that forecast right after this.
At Compeer Financial, being here for you means something. With your loan, you access far more than financing. Enjoy member benefits like discounts on personal and business expenses, financial education, and special events. Plus patronage, essentially reducing the costs of the funds you borrowed. Compeer Financial, here for you. Find out more today. Call 844-426-6733 or visit compeer.com/member-benefits. Compeer Financial is an equal credit opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2024, all rights reserved.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to 6 locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
Wisconsin soybean growers have lots of choices when it comes to selecting seed varieties. If you're a seed dealer, help make their choice a little easier by shining the spotlight on your products through the Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. By entering customers in the contest by the August 31st deadline, seed dealers will receive $100 for one grower, $200 for three, and $300 for five or more. Growers must complete an entry and harvest form to qualify. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
All right, buddy, whip that forecast on us. It's going to be, like you said, just cautious, you and your livestock. As heat index is, what, are they going to be dangerous by noon?
Not too bad yet today, but certainly by Sunday, maybe Saturday afternoon already, up into the mid-upper 90s, there may be a 100 heat index in western Wisconsin where it'll be warmest. Could see a little fog this morning, but a sunny Friday sounds great. A lot of mid-80s, if you will, maybe 84 in the east, upper 80s in the west, and the winds become southeast at 5. Clear overnight, and we hold on in the mid-60s. Lighter south winds, mostly sunny Saturday. That slight chance for a pop-up shower or storm mid to late afternoon. Temps in the mid and upper 80s. Could be a 90 toward La Crosse, southeast Minnesota as well. South winds 5 to 10. Little shower chance Saturday night. Mostly sunny Sunday again that afternoon. Very isolated shower or storm. But here's where we get up to 90 or in the 90s, Pam. And southwest winds 5 to 10, just helping to bring that humidity in and making it very, very hot Sunday and even into Sunday night.
So if I'm bringing livestock home, high alert situation.
Yes. Absolutely, make sure they're hydrated.
And you too. I mean, man, well, you hustle cattle around or livestock of any kind, jeepers, Christmas trees, the pigs will be hot. Yeah. All right. Fair warning, definitely on a Friday. Have a good weekend, buddy. We'll catch up with you next week.
You too. See you then.
Compure Financial brings your ag weather update to you on Friday. Compure Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture in rural America. Visit Compure.com.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM WISS.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Okay, life insurance. The question I get the most is, do I really need it? Now, if you've got kids or a spouse or a loved one who depends on you, then yes, I've got two steps to help you get one. Step one, multiply your annual income by 20. This is how you estimate how much money you want the policy to be worth. It's called the coverage. It's how much money your loved ones get in case the unthinkable happens. Step two, look into a 20-year term policy for that amount. Term is just insurance lingo for a simple form of insurance. It covers you for a set rate of time, a term. The average cost of a 20-year term policy for most folks is between $26 and $30 a month. That's it, two steps to get you going. And then if the unexpected happens, your loved ones can have some money to support them. For more money tips, head on over to workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
As a network, we're called Civic Media because a big part of it is we want to start modeling how civic discourse really should happen and being respectful of each other's opinions, even if you disagree, you know, like they should be given a platform.
If Rocker and I can get along, right. We can all get along.
I know,
along.
Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Rocker?
Yeah, that's right, Jimmy.
Well, you do have a wall in between the two of you, so
glass.
It's like the
it's only
glass.
Glass, it's only glass. Tear down the walls. Listen to Max Inc. Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
100 days, 144,000 minutes. The countdown to the November presidential election is on, and Maggie Dawn is counting too as she continues her special segment, Biden's Top 100.
Having heard from each and every one of you, I should start talking about what President Biden is proposing us for his second term.
Biden's Top 100 continues. You're invited to be part of it too. Call or text the Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays starting at 2, across the Civic Media Radio Network and the app.
Say you never give in to a meltdown and never fill your feed with kid photos. You say you'd never put a pacifier in your mouth to clean it and never let them run wild through the grocery store. So when you say you'd never let them get into a car without you there, know it can happen. 1 in 4 hot car deaths happen when a kid gets into an unlocked car and can't get out. Never happens. Before you leave the car, always stop. Look. Lock. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Some minor gaffes seem to overshadow the substance of President Biden's hour-long unscripted news conference to close out the NATO summit.
Voters are closely focused on the president's age, health, and acuity. In the face of increasing questions about whether he should continue his bid for re-election, but the president flubbing his first answer.
I wouldn't have picked Vice President Trump to be vice president. But I think she's not qualified to be president. So let's start there.
Minutes before the news conference, another gaffe. Biden mistakenly calling Ukrainian President Zelensky Putin.
ABC's M. Nguyen in Washington. A tourist helicopter crashed into the ocean off the Hawaiian island of Kauai. One person was killed, two are unaccounted for. In Nepal, three passengers were rescued after two buses with 66 people aboard were swept into a rain-bloated river by a landslide 75 miles west of Kathmandu. The three survivors swam to safety. This is ABC.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Civic Media is reviewing procedures after an edited version of an interview between talk show host Earl Ingram and President Biden aired last week. CEO Sage Weil tells Todd Albaugh the choice made in the moment won't happen again.
This was a first for us. This is our first presidential interview and the first time we've had these types of requests. And unfortunately, the judgment in the moment was not ideal. And so my job is to make sure that we prevent these types of mistakes going forward.
Ingram will stay on as host. Weil calls Ingram an invaluable voice for Milwaukee and Wisconsin. Wisconsin's Democratic Secretary of State is settling an open records lawsuit. Sarah Godlewski was appointed the same day Doug LaFollette resigned last year. Republicans are looking for evidence of a prior agreement. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News. Here's what you need to know closer to home.
The Brewers host the Nationals. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers host the Washington Nationals at AmFam Field. Their crew coming off a rough 1-0 loss to the Pirates. It snapped their streak of winning their last 9 home game series dating back to early April. The Pirates' 22-year-old right-hander Paul Skeens had a no-hitter going through 7 innings before leaving the game after throwing over 100 pitches. Pat Murphy says coaching his batters to try and wear down Skeens is not easy to do.
It's sensitive because if you think you get a pitch to hit and it's the one pitch you're going to get off this guy, hitting off this guy with 2 strikes is death. It's not so easy to just say, well, just run the pitch count up. Well, you're 1-2, you got no chance of getting on base. Look at the numbers 1-2 or 0-2. There's an art to doing it.
Elsewhere, the Cubs with another shutout win over the Baltimore Orioles, this time 8-0. With the win, the Cubs sweeping the Orioles in Maryland. Chicago's now won 6 of their last 7 games with a 4-game winning streak still alive. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer is here from the recombobulation area in hour number 2, the executive director of Gathering Waters and Land Trust Days. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
This weather update is brought to you by your boat club, Oshkosh's premier outdoor clothing and equipment retailer. When you're serious about fun, shop your boat club located at 1232 North Sawyer Street.
Partly cloudy today, our high 86 this afternoon with wind out of the southwest at 5 to 10. Tonight, clear 65. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, warm and humid. We'll get to 88 with a heat index in the low 90s. Could see a few isolated thunderstorms tomorrow night. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
From tools and accessories to maintenance and everything in between, Menards has your automotive needs covered. Prevent gas line freeze-up with Heat Gas Line Antifreeze. It removes water from the fuel system and is safe for use in all four-cycle and fuel-injected engines. Grab a four-pack for just $4.99. Check out this and more great deals going on now during Menards' New Year's Sale. Prices good through December 31st.
Save big money at Menards.
The Republican National Convention is being held in Milwaukee, and it marks the first time the RNC is in the Badger State. But Wisconsin holds a special spot in the election cycle, with the RNC the second consecutive political convention in Milwaukee. The city was picked for the Democratic National Convention in 2020, but due to COVID, most of it ended up being virtual. Do you know which city has hosted the most political conventions? Philadelphia, Chicago, or Boston? The answer coming up. Political conventions started in the 19th century. It remained the main way to select candidates until 1972, when presidential primaries determined the eventual nominee. Conventions are now considered more of a celebration of the candidate. So do you know which city has held the most political conventions? Chicago. The Republicans have been there 14 times, and the Democratic convention will be hosted there for the 11th time this summer. 50,000 people expected at the RNC in Milwaukee, a nice slice of Wisconsin for the country to see. I'm Terry Barr.
Busted pencils.
Fully leaded education talk.
Our guest, Jonathan Gurko. Deliberative dialogue in democracy isn't winning an argument.
Instead of how do we win and end the conversation, how do we keep it going? How do I listen in a way on the assumption that someone else has something that I can learn from that will improve my point of view so that we can grow? To me, that's the democratic project.
Busted pencils with Dr. Tim and Dr. Johnny. Weeknights at 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Albaugh Show.
Andrew Hahn, he is a data journalist, and he maps out in this article what makes Wisconsin great. 96% of Wisconsinites live within 30 minutes of Quick Trip.
Wisconsin is one of those places that has a cultural identity that's unique to this place. And when we tell stories like this, it reminds people that we all come from this place and we all share a goal, genuinely, of trying to make this state a better place.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You took the first step and quit smoking, but even former smokers may still be at risk for lung cancer. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know about a new low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early. It takes only 60 seconds and could save your life. You took the first step, now take the next. Visit SaveByTheScan.org for a simple quiz to see if you're eligible and talk to your doctor about screening. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS.
Pam Yonke.
Hot and sticky weekend on the way across the state of Wisconsin. Really doesn't matter where you are. Probably Saturday going to be the peak of that heat. Coming down a little bit on Sunday and actually pretty manageable next week. That's good news for everybody that's coming to Wisconsin for the first time. Republican National Convention. It's all you're going to hear about next week. Today, we're focusing in on some numbers. AARP of Wisconsin polled folks in the rural communities to find out what they have to say about the presidential election and other issues close to their hearts. Jim Flaherty with AARP of Wisconsin is going to break it down for us as we roll our way through a Friday. Thanks for making us a part of your morning activity. So today is the 12th day of July. You know, even on this day back in 1995, we were talking about the weather in Wisconsin. From July 12th through the 15th, 1995, the Midwest had an outbreak of hot and humid weather that was responsible for 141 deaths in Wisconsin. The Milwaukee Journal Sentinel said it was the greatest single event of weather-related deaths in Wisconsin's history. Most of the fatalities happened in the urban southeast counties of the state. And at one point, several Milwaukee area hospitals couldn't admit any more patients. That was on this day back in 1995. So exercise caution, like I said, going into this weekend. On this day in 1962, the Rolling Stones performed for the very first time. They were at the Marquee Club in London this day back in 1962. On this day in 1984, Walter Mondale named Geraldine Ferraro as running mate for the presidential election. Geraldine Ferraro became the first woman to run for public office on a major party ticket in the United States. That was on this day back in 1984. Let's see. Happy birthday today to actor, comedian, scholar, and yes, now convicted felon, Bill Cosby, 87 today. And this one caught my attention. Dynasty actress Katherine Oxenberg, who was 36, married Chinatown's film producer Robert Evans, who was 68. They got married on this day, 1968, and it lasted exactly 9 days. And now you know. Well, Wisconsin farmers are paying attention to this weather, taking care of livestock, and also monitoring their crops. We're coming up on the winter wheat harvest in Wisconsin. Stephanie Hoff gets us an update.
Extension small grain specialist Sean Conley says the harvest window has opened for some Wisconsin winter wheat farmers. He advises growers to not dawdle during dry stretches. Sean says that the rainy weather and any more to come will pose challenges for this crop.
There's a lot of wet spots out there. A lot of areas that are showing nitrogen deficiency, and one of the things we've seen out in our wheat is I would expect our winter wheat yields to be down this year. Generally, when we have a drier weather like we did last year, we're coming out of a drought, we tend to have higher wheat yields. This year we've been so wet. We have a lot of diseases out there, both foliar, stem, and head blights that have been a challenge. So I'm expecting wheat yields to be down. I'm expecting our test weight to be down, the quality to be about average. So it's probably going to be an average, if not slightly below average yield, just depending how good of a job farmers did getting fungicides out there to control the wheat diseases we had in 2024.
Yeah, you can't do much more to protect this crop. It's just time to harvest. But the timeline for winter wheat this year is a little earlier. So does that open up some opportunities?
Yep, this weed is about done. One of the interesting things that since we are coming off probably about 10 days early, just depending on when it dries out, we'll probably see more double crop soybean acres following winter wheat this year than we typically do, because we'll be giving ourselves, you know, farmers another 10 days, maybe 2 weeks to plant soybean following winter wheat, so about 10 more days of growth. So I'm expecting to see several more acres of double crop soybeans out there. That's something new that farmers can get crop insurance for starting last year.
Soybeans are an option. Sean, what else can we put in after wheat this year? And because we did see some nitrogen deficiency in areas of the field, does that mean we're going to have to do some pre-plant work?
Yeah, there might probably do some pre-plant work depending on, you know, generally we like to go and no-till soybeans into the standing wheat residue out there. But then as we get further up into Wisconsin, you know, closer to Green Bay, where we probably might not have the growing season, we see a lot of these acres get cover cropped acres following winter wheat, and then we see a lot of manure applied to these acres. I mean, generally in Wisconsin, we need about 500,000 acres of small grains, and be it soft red winter wheat or be it oats or some other small grains, just to help feed the dairy industry, but then also provide land to apply manure during this time in late July into August to help to get some of that manure out there on the fields.
Sean, you said test weights will be about average. What is that?
Yeah, so generally what we would expect them to be is about 58 pounds. They might be a little bit below average. Again, it all depends on the timeliness of harvest. Generally, as farmers delayed, we see a drop in test weight. So there might be some dockage in the elevator. So given the wet weather and that we've had this growing season, I would expect farmers will probably have maybe a little bit more dockage this year than general on their test weight. So, again, you know, farmers are used to it. Just get out there and don't dawdle when it comes to getting your winter wheat harvested this year, because I think quality will just drop quicker than it does in a normal drier year, if you will.
Advice from Dr. Sean Conley. He's an extension small grain specialist. And if you've got more questions for him, he welcomes you to visit his website, coolbeans.info. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Channel Seed technical agronomist John Kinnaker joining me now from Wisconsin to share research efforts by Bayer Crop Sciences to combat plant diseases like tar spot. What's the latest, John?
Bayer research teams are working to better meet the agronomic needs of our customers. We're proud that our R&D, research and development product pipeline investments lead to the seed and crop protection industry by a 2-to-1 margin. The focus is on breeding new products with enhanced genetic tolerance and developing innovative new crop protection products.
What about progress, John?
Our breeders are identifying new genetic combinations with tolerance to, for example, tar spot and other diseases using our precision breeding strategy. We expect this capability to reduce the breeding cycle from 6 years to just 4 months. One recent advancement has been recreating tar spot in test plots, for example, in Wisconsin here, to help develop new corn products with improved tolerance.
Thanks, John. Always read and follow IRM where applicable, grain marketing and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions.
Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Next week, Wisconsin farmers are going to try to catch a little attention at the Republican National Convention events. The Wisconsin Soybean Association is going to have a presence at a couple different locations. Steve Tribotowski and Katie Kazor, who are members of the Wisconsin Soybean Association Board of Directors, will be at the Great American Farm Fair. That's going to be in Waterford, where they're going to be visiting with legislators, including Senator Roger Marshall and Glenn G.T. Thompson, chairman of the House Ag Committee. For the first time in the event's 40-year history, the tour will be held on a working farm. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all plays out, and we'll be monitoring it for you. Meanwhile, some of our Wisconsin Soybean Association members will be out in hot, sticky Washington, D.C. They are going to be catching up with some of the leadership that stayed behind in Washington, D.C. to talk about advancing the farm bill, which is apparently stalled out. Markets have stalled out this morning in Chicago as well. Yesterday, we saw the barrel cheese drop 3 cents, make that down a nickel at 189. 40-pound block cheese on Thursday down a penny and a half, 195 and a half. Double A butter dropped a half cent to 310 a pound. Now, this morning in Chicago, currently we're looking at December corn down 2 cents right now at 407. The November soybeans are down to a 1065. The September wheat's down 3.75 cents at 5.67 a bushel. These are the lowest commodity prices for corn and soybeans that we've seen since the front part of the pandemic. August Class 3 milk down 6 right now at $19.91 a hundredweight. That's the milk that goes into cheese. September Class 3 milk, that closed 32 cents lower yesterday at $20.37 a hundredweight. Coming up next, keeping an eye on what the rural voice is saying about the presidential election. Every vote's going to count in Wisconsin. Paying attention to what folks in rural communities want, that's what AARP is doing. Jim Flaherty, communications coordinator with AARP of Wisconsin, is going to share their neutral polling results coming up on the way.
Can't get enough farm news? The stories you hear and more 24/7 at MidwestFarmReport.com. Stay tuned as we'll be right back.
From the home of the largest fly-in in the world, we are Oshkosh Air Support, 1100 AM and 98.3 FM, WISS.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. Our last installment for Why People Don't Vote Week discusses what solutions are being proposed to encourage eligible citizens to register and vote. The Center for American Progress outlined reforms which would encourage registration and voting. They include automatic voter registration to encourage registration at the DMV when obtaining a license or car registration. Oregon registered 219,000 new voters by AVR before the 2018 midterm, and 47% of them voted. Online voter registration, which includes submitting identification and other documents electronically, has eased the hassle for working people to register. A study in Georgia found that 71% of online registrants turned out to vote, higher than in-person or mail registration. Pre-registering 16 and 17-year-olds is effective in getting younger voters engaged. They can't vote until they're 18, but often schools can encourage future voting when coupled with civics education. Florida saw a 4.7% jump in youth voting as a result. Early voting and voting by mail helps all manners of people to vote, providing flexibility in schedules for parents and working citizens. In the last few weeks, Georgia has shattered its early voting records. What are your options for registering and voting? Contact your city or county election office or website for details. Articles and links to groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
When I smoke weed, I get lost in the music. I like to isolate each instrument. The rhythmic bass, the harmonies on the piano, the sticky melody.
Hey, careful, babe. There's someone crossing the street.
Sorry, I didn't see him there.
If you feel different, you drive different. Don't drive high. It's dangerous and illegal everywhere. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Lisa Hale, host of New Wisco Weekend, which premieres this Saturday. And it's Friday, which means Terry Barr drops in with great tunes and great conversation.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Is Jim Flaherty. He is the communications coordinator for AARP of Wisconsin. Jim, you've got new findings from your polls. Tell us a little bit about the poll and ultimately what you found out.
Yeah, and thanks for having me on, Pam. You guys do such a great job staying in tune with what some of the issues that your listeners care so much about, and AARP is in that same boat. We know what folks over 50 are concerned about, and we're trying to keep up and try to move legislation forward that helps folks as they age so they can remain living with dignity in their homes as long as possible. So part of that is kind of monitoring the pulse of where people are, which is why today we're announcing that we had a new poll that just came out today. And it is, we had a Democratic and a Republican firm hired by AARP to conduct the poll. So it's nonpartisan, and AARP is nonpartisan. We don't give any money to either party. We don't back any candidates. But the poll came out today. It shows that it's hot off the presses that Donald Trump does lead President Joe Biden by about 7% among voters, older voters. So overall, Trump has a 44-38% lead, with Robert Kennedy Jr. polling at 9%. And among voters over age 50, it's 48-41% in favor of Trump. So it's close. But, you know, here's the thing about polls, Pam. Polls are not elections. So they're a measuring stick to kind of gauge where the folks in general are at a certain point during a campaign leading up to election. And those measuring sticks can change weekly and monthly, and get especially tight as it gets close to the election. So while this poll is showing Trump ahead, these things can change so quickly over time between now and November.
Boy, that's for sure. Who shows up? That's the big question. Very good, though. Great information, Jim. Let's talk a little bit about our Wisconsin races. So, of course, for Wisconsin's U.S. Senate spot, Senator Tammy Baldwin, the incumbent, and then there's challenger Eric Hovde. What do you see in that one?
Yeah, it looks like from the poll, Senator Baldwin holds the lead over Eric Hovde, 50% to 45%, and that's among voters overall. So among voters age 50 and older, Hovde actually has a narrow advantage over Senator Baldwin, 50% to 40%. So it kind of depends on which demographic you look at. What's funny in looking at this poll is how engaged and disengaged the different age demographics are. It showed us that 85% of voters age 50 and older say that they are, quote, extremely motivated to vote in this election, compared to just 64% of voters age 18 to 49. So what that tells us at ARP is, boy, the candidates sure better be in tune with what older voters care about, because older voters are going to be the folks that show up at the polls on election day.
Boy, I love that. That's one of your guests that we've had on AARP calls it the red shirt group. The red shirts show up and they talk issues. So that's why they matter for sure. Aside from that, again, if you're just joining us, Jim Flaherty's along with us. He's a communications director for AARP of Wisconsin. As I'm fresh off the press news about how they are finding Wisconsinites when it comes to polling for both the presidential spot and the U.S. Senate race. You know, aside from that, Jim, let's talk a little bit about just the overall tone you're getting from seniors across the state. What seem to be some of the top subject matter issues that they want discussed?
Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That is the heart and core of the election is, you know, what do voters care about? The poll showed us that 83% of voters age 50 and older say that candidates' positions on Social Security are either extremely important to them or very important to them in deciding whom to vote for in November. And that's followed by 72% around Medicare and something that flies low on the radar, which is helping people stay in their homes as long as possible. In other words, support for family caregiving, which is 63%. Also, the cost of prescription drugs are extremely important to folks, 62%. And another group, 84%, prefer a member of Congress to be voted in who wants Medicare to continue negotiating for lower drug prices. So, you know, people want to keep healthcare down, drug prices down. They want to make sure folks are taken care of with financial security, with Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security going forward. These are issues that are on folks' mind. A lot of folks just live only on their Social Security payments and struggle every month. So if those programs are ever put in danger, it's going to matter a lot to voters. So if they see candidates on the trail, if some of the presidential or state Senate or U.S. Senate candidates are hit some of the areas where your listeners are, tell them to ask the candidates, hey, what's your position on Social Security? How do you support family caregivers? And see what they have to say, because these are huge issues.
Well, and your point, Jim, should be listened to by everybody. This isn't just a senior issue. This is anybody in the state of Wisconsin that wants to keep more money in their pockets when it comes to any of your prescriptions. So like I said before, AARP, it's not just about the 50 plus, it's all of us. So when you take a look at all the information you gathered, Jim, anything surprise you? What are you kind of taking away?
Yeah, thanks for asking. This comes back to the issue of family caregiving, which is one of our top priorities. So a family caregiver is someone who takes care of a loved one so that they can remain living in their home. They do shopping, bathing, transportation, medication management, cooking, all that kind of stuff for a loved one to keep them in their home. 21% of Wisconsin voters, that's one-fifth, are themselves family caregivers. And we refer to these folks as Wisconsin's unsung heroes because of all the work they do while also working and raising their own families. It's usually a son or a daughter, but sometimes it's a neighbor. And family caregiving is the backbone of Wisconsin's long-term care system. So we are really interested in providing some support, some tax credits at the national level and the state level to support family caregivers. They spend about $7,000 out of their own pockets every year to provide this care. So we were a little surprised to see that almost a quarter of the people consider themselves family caregivers, and they're going to care about issues. So if candidates are listening to this interview, please do put family caregiving on your radar.
Yeah, well, those sound like items that are important to everybody, Jim. I appreciate it. We're out of time, buddy. I'll talk to you soon. Jim Flaherty joining us. He is the communications coordinator for AARP of Wisconsin. Their poll results are available if you want to take a closer look. Go to AARP.
Oshkosh Air Support, WISS. Mino and the Mayor.
I got a text from some friends of mine. They're working for Habitat for Humanity today.
Oh, great.
I might run over there, just put on the tool belt and just kind of midriff shirt, whatever, and just kind of do some work.
Get a little sheen going.
Get a little sheen going for the ladies.
Yeah. The Mino Sheen.
Hey, that would be a good, like, fragrance, like a cologne.
Mino Sheen. What is she looking for?
Hey, Mino-sheen. You smell really good, yeah. Big boy.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday morning, 6 till 9 on 97.9 WGBW and 98.3 WISS.
The frustrating narrative about beef and sustainability today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for R-H-I-Z-O-L from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
Friona Industries is an Amarillo, Texas-based company operating 8 beef feedlots. During a recent event in South Dakota, Friona's chairman and CEO Don Gales pointed out how some media are positioning the industry.
When's the last time in the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, or the Post that there was a positive article about beef and what it means and how we're doing things to improve? You know, depending on the different audience, that's their data inputs. And when was the last time our industry had a positive article in one of those?
As a result, says Gales, people get the wrong idea about beef and sustainability.
Their perception on cattle and agriculture in general is usually whatever they read in the Wall Street Journal. And just sitting around and chatting, well, what do you do? And, you know, they look at me like, you know, you got horns growing out of your head and, you know, beef is bad. But when you do start chatting with them, it's how they upload their information, what they consider true information.
Gales calls those misconceptions the biggest thing the industry has to think about. And he adds, it's a challenge the industry needs to address. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. We'll be live from our table at the RNC in Milwaukee, just outside the Fiserv Forum. You're not going to want to miss it. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
At Uline, they know going the extra mile takes hard work. For companies pushing to go further, Uline will go the distance with you. 24/7, they answer the phone to get you the shipping and industrial supplies you need. Business can move fast. Unexpected large orders, adverse weather, new safety guidelines, and changing economic trends. Uline works hard keeping 41,000 items ready to ship, minimizing detours on your way to the extra mile. Visit uline.com.
Are you ready to hit a home run with your business marketing? It's time to step up to the plate and get noticed with help from your local MVP senior account executive, Peter Van Doren. Whether you're a rookie or seasoned pro, I'm here to help you score big with unbeatable radio advertising and digital marketing solutions. Don't wait until the ninth inning. Get started now, and let's hit a grand slam together. Contact me by email today, peter@civicmedia.us.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. President Biden.